Four Palestinian children have died due to malnutrition at Kamal Adwan Hospital in the northern Gaza Strip. We are now talking about over 5,000 Palestinian children in the north of Gaza who are at risk of dying due to malnutrition. So this is particularly an Israeli systematic tool of war, which it has used as to starve the Palestinian population and to push them to come to the southern parts of the Gaza Strip. I have been, testimonies from people there who reported to me that amid the starvation of the Gaza Strip and the Gaza City in particular, the Israeli army at checkpoints, when they cross the checkpoints, the Israeli army and Israeli soldiers tell the residents that if you want to eat, go to the south. So this is like a kind of intimidation and forced displacement tool for Palestinians, that if they want to really live, they have to evacuate, to forcibly evacuate their homes and comply with the Israeli orders to go to the southern parts of the Gaza Strip. And this is why I think that Israel is allowing aid into the southern Gaza Strip. It's not only for the mere benefit of the residents, because they have been bombing also residents who are allowed to get some food here in the southern Gaza Strip. But I think that this is kind of
Maha Hosseini, we have to end it there.
For civilians to,
but I thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for your courage. Maha Hosseini, award-winning independent journalist and activist based in Gaza, reporting to us from there.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members in Portland Public Schools preschool programs, offering education and support for families of preschoolers. Enrolling now for children who will be 3 to 4 by September 1st. Information at pps.net/early learning.
Ayo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
Good morning, and you are listening to your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. We are broadcasting live. Today is the 24th of June. It is 8.02 a.m. It is Monday. I am Cecil, and this is More Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of this radio broadcast. If you are listening live, if you're listening at any time, and I assume that you are alive if you are listening, but that's another conversation, I suppose. But my point is, I hope that you are doing well and that if you had a good weekend. This is Monday, and those of you who are experiencing the terrible impact of warm weather or wildfires, I hope that these things will pass soon and that everyone is well and will be well. I wanted to share with you a quote a short statement that I would like to maybe begin as a to shape our conversation or just for reflection. And this is from Maya Angelou. She writes, "We are braver and wiser because they existed. Those strong women and strong men. We are who we are because they were who they were. It is wise to know where you come from, who called your name." Maya Angelou. I'll read it one more time and allow the words to settle into your minds, into your souls, into your body as we reflect. We are braver and wiser because they existed. Those strong women and strong men. We are who we are because they were who they were. It is wise to know where you come from, who called your name. Maya Angelou wrote those words. And yes, I thought it was appropriate to reflect and to remind myself and those who happen to listen that we are here because of the work and persistence and courage of those who went before us. It is a good reminder that we stand on the shoulders, as it were, on those who went before us. And when we think that things are difficult, it is helpful to look at those who went before, what experiences they encountered, what lessons they learn and share, what insight that they have for us, what mistakes they made that we ought to avoid. Those are things that we ought to consider. Several things I want to mention today related to that general theme of we're standing on, we exist because of those strong people who went before us, and we are because they were. Several things that are happening this week, or things that we will be reflecting on this week. One thing is that there will be a presidential debate this week between the two major party candidates for president of the United States. It is one of the earliest presidential debate between the two major party candidates. Usually they are held in the fall after the respected party conventions. This one will be held between the candidates for the presumed candidates for the Democrat and Republican party, and that will be held this week. What are you expecting? Are you expecting anything? Do you have high or low expectations? And what is the what will be the result of this? You know, one thing that occurs to me that certainly because this debate is happening before the major party conventions, which will happen in subsequent weeks. You know, if one and or both of these candidates make a major mistake, and this is a conversation that happened every 4 years at presidential candidacy debates. That is, in the fall, there's usually, it has been a pattern in recent years to have maybe two presidential debates and one vice presidential debate. And there's always a conversation, what if the candidates make a mistake? What if they stumble? And there's always that positioning. Are they up or are they down? Will it make a difference? Will people listen? Those are things that happen. I don't know how many people will be listening, as again, debates are usually in the fall when people's attentions are focused on the elections. And since this is happening as the beginning of the summer, when people are thinking and participating in summer activities, I don't know how many people will tune in or listen or care for these for this debate. What are some of your thoughts? What do you have any high expectations? Will it make a difference? And what happens if one or both of these candidates stumble or make a mistake? There is time. You know, this is before the convention, and maybe this is a good idea, you know, have them practice. And if they don't pass the test, then say, oh, let's choose someone else. Let's see. Our number's here, 503-231-8187. Give us a call, and we'll pick up the phone, and we'll allow you to share your thoughts. There are two other things I would like to share with you today. And one is that today is, I mentioned June 24th, 2024. It is significant because it is the anniversary of a decision that impacted many people throughout the nation. On this day, June 24th, 2022, the Supreme Court of the United States overturned a decision which had been the law of the land for almost 50 years, and that was Roe v. Wade. 2 years ago, the Supreme Court, in the Dodd decision, overturned that ruling, and it had an impact in many communities throughout the nation, as women and people of who seek to affirm the right to choose raise their voices and act and responded to what has been happening and the impact. And we see that in elections over the last couple of years, and not only in blue states, but in red states where voters are voicing their disagreement with the U.S. Supreme Court decision and are affirming women's right to choose, and in throughout the nations, in the South, in the North, in the East, in the West, things are happening, and people are making decisions and trying to alter what is developing in this nation. Today, June 24th, women's rights activists across the nations, and I'm reading this from a Portland Mercury article. Women across the nation would join forces to protest gender inequality. And Portland women strike organizers are calling for a show of solidarity. Today at noon, gender rights activists and reproductive rights advocates will line on the Burnside Bridge in Portland, adorned in red. Local organizers encourage supporters to abstain from work or school if possible, and to refrain from injecting money into the economy or today, unless it is to support a female-owned business. They are also encouraging supporters to promote the strike on social media, because that is how we communicate in these days. Leading it up to it with hashtags Women Strike Portland and hashtag Women Strike 2024. There has been a long history of women's strikes, going back to October 1975 in Iceland, when women went on strike to demonstrate the importance of women in society. At that time, women boycotted jobs, schools, businesses, childcare, and chaos, as you can suspect, ensued. Schools, banks, airlines shut down, operated on limited capacity. Grocers allegedly sold out of sausages. This is in Iceland in 1975, because they were one of the few easy meals that fathers knew how to make for the hungry children without the help of their wives. Well, since that 1975 in Iceland, Women's Day off has expanded in many places throughout the globe. June 24th is a significant day for gender equality, particularly in the United States. 2 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court overruled that decision, Roe v. Wade. Oregon is one of 25 states where abortion remains accessible, or mostly accessible, according to Planned Parenthood. As of this month, 12 states are enforcing total ban on abortion, and 7 states are enforcing laws that restrict abortions to varying extents. Amy Hamden, a volunteer for Women's Strike Portland, outlined the need to continue advocating for gender equality. She says women are still fighting to stop gender-based violence. Women are still fighting for basic equality. Women are still fighting for freedom over their own bodies, including gender-affirming health care. And the Equal Rights Amendment has not been ratified, and it has been over 50 years. The goal of our women's strike is to reinforce that the message that all women around the world deserve their basic human rights, Hamden says. We want everyone to wear red on that day in solidarity with the movement. If you can't afford the visibility rally, we are asking women not to go to work or to school, but if they must, to wear red. So today, June 24th, women strike for equality, the anniversary of the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, the Dodds decision, which overturned women's right access to reproductive health care. What are some of your thoughts? I have so those are two things I've laid down: the presidential debate and women's strike for peace, for peace as well, for reproductive freedom. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let me hear your thoughts. Let's hear what Santiago has to say. Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. I was just listening to some James Cone yesterday, and he was talking, his quote is based off Dostoevsky. He said, you know, the one thing that I fear is that I'm, is that I, essentially, he's like, the one thing I fear is that, you know, that I will not live a life worthy of the, live a life worthy of the sacrifices my ancestors made for me, essentially. That's not the exact quote, but it's kind of what I was feeling, you know, especially in this time as, like, black and brown folks, you know, there's a lot of fear and rhetoric around, you know, Trump's potential election, and especially with the 2025 plan. And I always tell people, you know, it's, liberals are really worried about Trump 2025 plan, but they don't understand that black and brown folks have survived America's 1492 and 1619 plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, and every other year between 1619 and 1964. So, and even until now, if you want to be honest, I mean, there's never been anything for us here.
Right.
So, and the only democracy, the only thing that we've had is that we've had, you know, the only democracy we really have is what we've made for each other. So, yeah. You know, just making sure that people keep that in mind when they, you know, when they start fearing about these sort of things, you know, they, you know, it's recognizing that, you know, we have power, and it's the power that we have when we come together.
I think that, I think that's such an important point you're making, that, that we have the power, and we are the ones who will liberate ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, especially, you know, for a lot of those people who, you know, don't understand how, you know, how, you know, how people can use the Bible to justify atrocities, but it's like they don't, they've never really grappled with the history of what this nation was founded on.
Right.
And, you know, and always remembering, you know, how, you know, James Cone would say that, you know, that God is in the, you know, God isn't some abstraction, you know, God lives in the, amidst the oppressed, you know, God is, you know, that the God, you know, has preferential option for the oppressed, and, to, you know, and to never forget that, you know, we, right now we're living through people who are weaponizing, you know, who are weaponizing their faith to, in an attempt to make, in an attempt to make a world that is not sustainable. You know, it's, you know, it's just, I don't know. I've got a lot of thoughts about that, but
sure.
At the end of the day, you know, it's just remembering that, you know, we have the power, you know, and wherever, you know, wherever, you know, and, you know, realizing that, you know, our lives, the only real significance our life has is what we do for another. You know, so many people are so afraid right now, and I get it, you know, and it's like I always say, you know, uncertainty, there's always going to be uncertainty, but that doesn't have to be, that doesn't have to create anxiety. We create anxiety about uncertainty.
Oh, repeat that. Repeat that quote. Uncertainty.
I said, you know, there will, you know, uncertainty doesn't equal anxiety, because life is full of uncertainty, but we don't have to be anxious about it.
Hey, that is inspiring. I'm going to write it down. thank you so much, and thank you for acknowledging James Cone. Are there other do you want to share any other, you know, ancestors or people, movements that inspire you, who, you know, when so many people are anxious, you point to and say, hey, what about this?
Well, I think it's important, you know, before I point this out, that, you know, that we're all fallible, and that
right.
They had, you know, that even the greatest revolutionaries have made mistakes, and they weren't, you know, we try often to judge them by our standards today, and realizing that, you know, even though they won revolutions, they were still filled, especially when it comes to, like, non-European, non-white folks, you know, they were still full of all of the prejudices of their former masters and handlers,
right.
But even despite all that, they found a way to create community to break away. So I would just say, like, you know, like I think of, like, to, you know, Toussaint Louverture, you know, I think of, you know, Castro, I think of, you know, the Sandinistas, you know, I think of, Yeah, I think of the October Revolution with Lenin and Stalin. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of all of these huge movements, and even with all of their detractors, they still found ways to make possible the breaking away from the oppression. And granted, they might have replicated it in certain ways, but the point is that they actually made an attempt to break it. And I think we get so caught up in perfection that we don't actually engage with the idea of doing the thing. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we should obviously learn from their mistakes, you know, because our ancestors and all of our revolutionary forebears obviously made mistakes. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't something worth doing. We have to look at the meaning of the action, the ethos behind the action rather than the action itself, because that's where we learn and that's where we grow from.
Nice. Thank you so much by reminding us to learn from the actions. And while we respect and honor those who went before us, also to recognize that we are all human, and that we are subject to our backgrounds and those influences, but that does not mean that we cannot get inspiration or courage or wisdom from those who went before us. I appreciate what you are doing and sharing, Santiago, and thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
No problem.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM 90.7 on your FM dial. Right, if you're in Portland. And if you're in Hood River, 91.9, 104.3 in Corvallis and KBOO.FM via the World Wide Web. Santiago just shared with us, shared some thoughts about those who inspired him and those who continue to inspire all of us. Among that is the observation that liberation comes from those who are oppressed. And although uncertainty is all around us, that does not mean that we need to fall into the pit of anxiety. There is yet some courage and strength we can get from those, and we want to honor those people by our actions. I began our conversation this morning by an observation. One is, you know, talk about the seed of power. We talk about the presidential debates that are happening this week, but also by some observation that today, June 24th, is the anniversary of the overthrow of Roe v. Wade and by the U.S. Supreme Court, and today is Women Day to strike. At noon on the Burnside Bridge, women are asked to gather in red to make a visible statement of concerns for health care for all and for reproductive rights for all women and girls. And that is something that is called for. So today, June 24th at 12 noon, women and those who support them are asked to gather in red on the Burnside Bridge as women across Portland join in this national women's strike. Equal rights, reproductive freedom, and to end gender-based violence. Today, Monday, June 24th, at Burnside Bridge at noon, wear red, if you can, no work, no school, bring signs, and if you cannot attend, wear red, and don't spend unless it's at a women's own business. That's an observation and an inspiration, I think, we will offer to you. Let me know. Give us a call. Will you be able to participate in the women's strike today? Are you wearing red? Are there women businesses that you are able to support? And what are ways in which you can support women? One other thing, as I wait for some other callers to engage in conversation with me, one other thing I wanted to note, in addition that today is the anniversary of the Dodds decision, that this is, you know, the month of June is Pride Month. This month, specifically on June 28th, is the 55th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings and Stone Rising Rebellion in New York, June 28, 1969. It marks the beginning of the Stonewall Uprising. It was a series of events between the police and the LGBTQI plus community protesters, which stretched over 6 days in the village in New York in 1969. And a little bit of background, and this is from Southern Poverty Law Center. Police raids were quite frequent and expected among gay bars in Greenwich Village in the late 60s. You know, in every state except Illinois, simply being gay was a crime. At that time, New York City was seen as a relatively safe haven for queer folks across the nation, but law enforcement routinely seized on state laws authorizing the arrest of anyone for, quote, crimes against nature or not wearing at least three articles of gender-appropriate clothing. The city even made it illegal for licensed bars to serve gay or gender nonconforming people. Huh. Well, the mafia seeing a profit in accommodating a shunned clientele ran several bars that catered specifically to the queer community. And one of those places was the Stonewall Inn. It was an opportunity for a gathering place for LGBTQ plus people. It was a safe place where people could find relative safety. Stonewall offered dance and had a bare light bulb that hung from the ceiling and would flash a signal to alert patrons that a police raid was about to happen, so they could physically separate on the dance floor because, you know, you couldn't be dancing. So these raids would happen periodically. But on this night, this early morning on June 28, something different happened. There was no tip-off, as usually happened. Usually those things, the arrests are orderly, you know. There's a tip-off, there's a payoff, and things went on. You know what happened on this day on June 28, 1969? People said enough is enough. People refused to produce their IDs, and they did not acquiesce to the orders of the police. perhaps invigorated by what was happening in the nations that time, the Black Power movement, the Women's Liberation Movement. Those in that community said enough is enough. And instead of running, they attempted to escape arrest, and a crowd gathered on the street. It was a joyous crowd, and yet a crowd of people determined to stand in their own truths. And they fought back. But follow well, 6 nights of uprising that was sparked, that would be a spark, one of the sparks, of a modern civil rights movement to replace public shame and create pride. On June 28, 1969, people started to say enough is enough. And lest we forget, this uprising, I wouldn't call it a riot, it was an uprising, it was a rebellion, was led by trans women of color who had put up with enough. Two of the women who come down, who we remember and recall, and these were just two women who were prominent, Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson. If you don't know who they are, do some homework, read about them, and see how they might inspire you. Notice people rising up and affirming their human dignity and the need to claim who they were. Whether it is in 1969 when people stood up to law enforcement and said we have a right to be who we are and resist it. And again, to hopping back to an earlier caller, Santiago, who just affirmed that we can gain wisdom and insight from those who went before us and show us a way to resist, not to fall prey to anxiety and inaction and being but allowing injustice to rather motivate us, the community, to stand up, to organize. And as that happened in the village in New York in 1969 and 6 days of uprising, which turned into a movement that, again, those ancestors created for those who follow. It is, as this month, June, is featured as Pride Month, there's always a tension between those who want to affirm the radical nature of movement, and the tension between that and the corporation seeing a way to make money and losing the heart and soul of movements. Certainly, one wants to be accepted in a larger society, but does that mean one needs to leave one's roots and an inability to be true to themselves and to be usurped by powers who may not have your true interests in mind. Therein lies the need for people to remember those who went before us, the ancestors, to be inspired by what they did or do, and then to create space and action to do something new today. And one of those things that are being called upon today is women's strike. Today at noon, for those who are in Portland, you're called to participate in the women's strike. 51 years after the Roe v. Wade decision, 2 years, 2 years after that was overturned, there is a call for women's strike today at noon. If you are unable to be there, why not wear red? And if you don't have anything to wear that is red, why not support a woman-owned business? That would be great. That is something that you can do and that you can demonstrate your support and your solidarity with those. So who are those who you find brave? I began by sharing the quote from Maya Angelou, who said, again, "We are braver and wiser because they existed." Those strong women and strong men. We are who we are because they were who they were. It is wise to know where you come from, who called your name. Who are those brave and strong people who you know and acknowledge? Who are those you draw inspiration from and guidance? We are because they were who they were. Who are some of those you admire and you get inspiration from? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Today, on the anniversary of the overturn of the Roe v. Wade, and in the month in which we celebrate Pride, how do we remain true to those who were original inspiration for the movements for liberations? Let's hear what you have to say. Janet, good morning. Who are those you admire?
Well, actually, my grandmother, she worked at the shirtwaist factory.
Oh.
And she wasn't there that day, so she... But I think the... I don't know if you've talked about that, but no. What I really admire about these people that came, my grandmother, she was like in the underground railroad out of Austria to leave that country and come through Ellis Island, mm-hmm. My grandfather.
Yes.
And he was involved in the union for the people that made clothes, the clothing textile industry.
Textile, yes.
He made the patterns for suits, custom suits.
Yes.
And it was pretty bad surgery. My grandmother had glaucoma, and then she was somewhat blind, and I didn't know, being 4 years old, that she came on the subway all the way up to our place, and we had a little picket fence so she would know that it was our place, and I was only four. But I think the thing that's disturbing to me is that the slippery slope to fascism
that's coming from the corporate greed and the fact that people have become so against each other and so insecure. There hasn't been the proper type of trust building for young people to really learn critical thinking and then to develop a mind of their own. And so people would have a movement of being like nice neighbors to each other instead of having talking points propagandized into their psyche so that they, I mean, it's, maybe you think someone like David Icke is a conspiracy theorist, but when it gets to the point where people are vying with each other and don't have the, they're not insufficiently nurtured to think for themselves.
Right.
Then what comes up is so much insecurity, and
yes,
then so people really can't unite. Like the Bernie movement, I mean, thinking, look what happened. We were all united, 20,000 people. My grandson, my daughter, and I—we all went down to the convention center, and here came the little bird down there for Bernie, and he said, "We got a movement."
Right.
And so that was like, you know, pretty devastating. I was thinking, fortunately, my grandparents didn't cave in, and I haven't caved into my grandkids.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm inspired by young people. My own grandson, he's only 25 years old, and his father has this Louis Bodies thing they say Biden has. Or he's taking care of his dad, and then they had
wonderful.
To get thrown out of their house because of the chemical problem. And he was had 2 years of school and studied enough math to have the diplomacy and the grace to deal with the they got $80,000 claim, but this other company, they said they got the money, didn't do the job. So then he actually became a consultant for the industrial hygienists. So I think my heroes are the young people
Great.
That can still think for themselves and then can really weigh in and make a difference. It's not just like the gay thing or the this thing or the that thing, but just the humanity of how we connect and believe in ourselves and share that.
Very good, very good. And thank you for making that connection. And not only the connection with your family and their history, but reminding us that those who we admire and can gain wisdom from aren't only our ancestors, but for those who follow us. It's a circle. Thank you so much,
exactly.
Janet. Thank you so much. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, and we'll go to our next caller right now. Mark, good morning. How are you? Mark, are you there? Mark is not there. Oh, Mark, I'm sorry. I want to encourage you to call 503-231-8187. I'm sorry we weren't able to take your call when you called, but if you call right now, we will speak to you and you will get the, well, I don't know. We'll answer the phone and then we'll decide what happens next. Again, Mark or anyone, you don't have to be named Mark. You could be named like Janet or before Janet, but it's Santiago, or, you know, it's you. 503-231-8187. Who are those you admire, who inspire you? We had interesting conversation with a couple of our listeners who shared and reminded us of the importance of being inspired by others. And our last caller, Janet, reflected on the inspiration of those, her family members, both her ancestors and those who are her descendants. Let's go back to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning, Cecil. We do live on the shoulders of our prophets and our martyrs, and to me it's so important to decolonize our minds. Bob Marley said, "Liberate yourselves from mental slavery." This is a very vital encouragement, you know.
Yes.
We live in a strange time where even discussing enlightenment, colonialism, or slavery is called anti-democratic. liberal democracy is very fragile, and we're learning this every time Trump's mouth. He actually said one time he doesn't mind being the Nelson Mandela of our time. So he's out of control. He has no, as a woman said, he doesn't listen to anyone. So we have to move from self-preservation to social ethics.
Okay, but let me
to be concerned with the periphery, and to recognize that our system is totally broken. So I really admire Santiago's consistency and passion, and I admire your eloquence, because hope comes from the outside. Hope comes from the other. And we have to see our fragility.
Yes.
This is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. And defending the other, defending the marginalized, the oppressed, is absolutely vital. Dissent is absolutely vital, not making the university into a machine of social conformity.
Wow. Machine of social conformity. Yes.
This is what the economist Michael Hudson said. Mm-hmm. He denounced the universities. We should be putting students in the center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we should be accepting their leadership in ending the Gaza horror. So thanks again, and I'll let other people speak.
Well, thank you, Mike, and for
Mark,
and reminding us of hearing and being inspired by those around us.
And that also historical consciousness. Remember, you were strangers and slaves in Egypt. Historical consciousness can bring us out of a postmodernism where people only are interested in the present moment. And they just totally ignore the past and the future.
Well, let me ask you, why do people do that? Why do we?
Well, we're bombarded with commercials.
Mm-hmm.
As Kierkegaard said in the books, The Present Age, we are not an age of courage. We're an age of publicity and advertising. And he said this around 1840.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Now we're just bombarded with advertising, and we're rushing out to buy a car to show that we're better than our neighbor.
Right.
So we need a philosophy. We need maybe attention to Latino philosophy. Otherwise, it might be too late. Because there is no hope for consumerism. There's no hope for profit maximization. Right?
Yeah, right.
These are irrational.
Well,
so thanks again.
Hey, thank you so much. And, you know, I think you get the award for bringing up Kierkegaard. I haven't had a conversation about Kierkegaard, and, you know, as a matter of fact, maybe this is another conversation, I just finished yesterday reading again through Fear and Trembling. So
yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
And without humility, there is no sense of wonder, Kierkegaard said. So you could tell Biden and Trump to go meditate on that.
Oh, yes. That would be,
that would be very enlightening for them.
That would be very enlightening. Hey, you just gave me an idea for the next debate. Okay.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is the 24th of June, 2024. And we have a few minutes left. We've been speaking about some events happening here in this month, doing some reflection on how we are inspired by those who went before us. And again, I'll share with you the quote from Maya Angelou that I began our discussion this morning. She writes, "We are braver and wiser because they existed. Those strong men, women and strong men. We are who we are because they were who they were. It is wise to know where you come from, who called your name." And I would suggest to you, perhaps this day or this week sometime, think of those people you admire, gained some wisdom from, some insight, courage. Who were those strong women and men, wise and brave people? Now, maybe someone who's written a lot, a professor, it might be some activist, it might be a politician. This morning we heard from one caller who mentioned a professor of theology, James Cone, a professor of liberation theology. We heard from one person who called and shared that among the brave women and brave men that she admired were her relatives, her grandparents, who were workers who inspired her. Well, who are those strong women and strong men? And especially as one caller mentioned, that we are in a period of confusion and discord. A couple mentioned that, and that we have at, I think it was Janet who mentioned the need for trust building. But in the absence of that, what is it that we can do? Well, there are a couple of things that are happening that I want to remind you all. Today, June 24th, Women's Strike. Those who are able and available, be a part by going to the Burnside Bridge and being a part of that action at 12 noon. If you are unable to do that, unable to not work or not go to school, you are encouraged to wear red. And if you much shop, why not consider on this one day, shop at a woman-owned business. Those are definite actions you can take, actions of things that you can do to demonstrate your commitment to equality and express your concern for the rights of women and girls. Also, this month is Pride Month. How do you honor the legacy of people such as Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson? Let not our celebration of Pride fall into corporate greed, but let us joyfully be who we are called to be, but also create a community where all voices are heard and supported. I think for me, one of the key lessons of pride is to allow voices and persons and community to have voice and safety and place. Janet reminded us earlier that we are called to truth building. Santiago Curl called earlier and reminded us of those who went before us and who we admire. Today, do something that is honorable and follow the legacy and the words and wisdom of Maya Angelou. I am Cecil Prescott. Thank you for listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Continue to be a supporter of this radio station, and I will be with you next time. Take care and have a pleasant day.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors.